Proverbs 17, 22. Take your Bibles. Proverbs 17 and verse number 22. A very familiar verse. I'd like to challenge us just with one thought this afternoon. And let's dive into this verse here just for a moment. Proverbs 17 and verse number 22 says this. I love the first part of this verse. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." In the world and the culture that you and I live in, there's a lot of things that you and I are trying to attain. There's many things that can even become competition. There's a lot of things that you and I are trying to avoid. We're trying to raise the next generation to love God, to love God's people, to fellowship, to have joy and love and peace in their hearts and their lives. But if there was ever something that we could say that all of us truly desire or would want to have in our homes and in our houses would be happiness. It would be something that is joyful. It says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." I won't go into all the scientific facts, but there's a lot of science that really proves that the Bible is true. And that without stress in your life, there's health benefits to that. A lot of health benefits to smiling. There's a lot of health benefits to being around other people who are happy. When we think about our homes, what is it that makes us happy? If you were thinking about your family, and there's a lot of different age groups here in this building today, but what is it that makes your family or your home a happy place? Is it only when you're able to do something wonderful? Is you only have happiness when you're able to take your kids to the pool, or when your great-grandkids or grandkids are over at your house? Or is there only happiness in your house when, and you can fill in the blank? But what if we had true happiness in our homes each and every day? What would that look like? If a merry heart doeth good like medicine, and this is something that we desire, we desire to have that happiness. We desire to have that merry heart. We desire to have that spirit that truly says, no matter what's in my life, no matter what the circumstances are, I'm a happy person. What does that look like? In my life, personally, I enjoy being around things that are positive. I enjoy being around people that are positive. You say, "Pastor, you got into the wrong business." And I get that. No one usually wants a meeting with the pastor to tell him how awesome he is. It's usually something's wrong, or we're getting a divorce, or we hate this, or we hate you, or whatever the case might be. Okay, but I'm not getting down. I'm just saying, I do at times really enjoy people that I can be around that encourage me. There's a lot of men in this room that you know you are a great source of encouragement. And I love being around you. I love spending time with you. It's not that pat on the back. It's not that big head. It's encouraging. I've told Amy often Kettner, she's got a face when you're preaching that is always encouraging. She just always smiles. She's with you. She's there. That's encouraging, Pastor Foto, to a person that you look and they look at you and they're smiling. They're with you. It's tough at times. I don't know why I'm looking at my wife. She isn't pastor, but it's she's a good preacher. But it's tough when you're looking out and someone's not looking at you. Their head is down or they're not with you. Teenagers can get that sometimes, and it's tough. But then there's those people that are encouragement here, and talking with folks like Pastor Foe, Daniel Liu, hardly 7 days a week texts me, and it's always encouraging. And I don't know if you get gifts or memes from Brother Bruce, but if you're not on Brother Bruce's list, you need to. He's an encourager with memes. I don't know where he gets them. I don't want to know where you get them, Brother Bruce, but they're very encouraging. And in our house, in our lives, that's what we want. It's what we desire. School's coming up in 2 or 3 weeks, and we can get to this place where it's, school, and here we go. And Brother Carlson is going to be this, and we have to be at school at 8 o'clock, and the trap. What I want to go into the school year is a happy home. Well, how do we do that? Teachers, you want to go into a place of a happy classroom. We want to come into, as I preached this morning, I love services like this because we can get to the nitty gritty a little bit, but I don't preach a service like this morning pointing out we have a problem at Cross Point we got to fix because people are coming in with bad attitudes. I'm just simply delivering the word of God that may we never get to that place. Does that make sense this afternoon? Every time I preach, I want you to think, well, what's going on? What's going on behind the scenes? Who gossiped? Who's on his Facebook? That's not it at all. Just when the Lord gives me, I just want to, even if it's not in the notes, let the Holy Spirit take over and let it flow. And so let's think about a merry heart for just a moment and how to have a happy home. Would you write this down? Number one, be cheerful. Number one, be cheerful. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Well, how do we break that down? If the opposite here is drieth the bones, broken spirit, cry, it's down, it's depressing, it's depressive, the opposite of that is going to be a merry heart, then you and I ought to have the attitude of being cheerful. There are many drab or cheerless, depressive homes that are unhealthy physically, mentally, and spiritually. But our homes should be kept alive with cheer and also with joy. This goes a long way in you and I having a happy home. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That means this, that you and I in our homes ought to have a place that is cheerful. As the pastor of Cross Point Baptist Church, it is one of those things I take very serious, that our services, Brother Mancroni and Mrs. Mancroni, we meet all the time, and we want our services to do what? We want them to flow, absolutely. We don't want them to be time-consuming, but we want them to be honoring, glorifying. But we often say, do we not, Mancronis, that we want them to be cheerful. I am not a person that, look, that we've got a lot of great hymns in our hymn book, but if we're going to sing hymns that are only just very druid and just very, like after a little while, I myself am falling asleep. Like, I'm ready for victory in Jesus. I heard an old song. Come on, let's get, like, cheerful. Come on, let's go. Man, they were singing Jesus Saves today, and I don't think we're allowed to run around the auditorium, but I'm telling you what, in my mind, I was running around the auditorium. Because why? Jesus saves. It's cheerful. It's good. And our homes ought to be the same. If we could set a service that has a flow of cheerfulness, and we want our Sunday school classes to be that way, and we can, Pastor Dan can talk to our Sunday school teachers. You can't sit at the end of the hall when kids are coming down the hall, look at them like, you're late, Juliana, get in class. Yo, we want them to be, hey, welcome to kids' church, and come on in. What? It's cheerful. It does something for people. The same is true in our homes. Moms and dads, you know that we can have an oppressive atmosphere in our homes just by our spirits. They get out of school and we're mad, and dads, we had a bad 5 minutes, and we bring it out on our kids. Moms, we had a bad 5 minutes, and we bring it out on our kids, and we get to this place where we truly can be almost mean or in a spirit of well, it's very down. Our homes ought to be a place, no matter what's taking place, of happiness. It ought to be a place, even in homes that are in this room, of maybe a single dad or a single mom or step-parents. It doesn't matter. If you're saved today, would you say amen? Amen. Isn't that enough in our homes to make our homes cheerful? I'm afraid the day and age that we live, we allow the outside world to affect our hearts and minds more than we allow the Holy Spirit to affect our hearts and minds. We allow the news of yesterday, the news of tomorrow, the worries of and concerns and the craziness, and we sit in front of our TVs, or we sit in front of the internet, or we sit on our social media, and we become so addicted to it that it brings the entire home down. So have a cheerful home. A cheerful home is music. Carrie always says music play in our house. And have music that is cheerful and lively and it's encouraging. Turn off maybe the news, parents and grandparents, for a little while and watch or play a game with your kids that's cheerful. I tried this the other day and I was like, man, I'm going to have this cool illustration because I'm going to play this game with our kids. And then I can use the illustration of how it brought just a lovely spirit, but it got too competitive and one of them threw the game. But anyways, be cheerful even when you lose. Hey, Tommy, be cheerful even when you lose, okay? Number one, be cheerful. Number two, I'm picking with my son, be courteous. Write this down. Number two, be courteous. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8, finally, be all one mind. Hold on, listen. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. You see, some people are respectful and polite at work or at church. They're courteous to friends, they're courteous to strangers, but they show little, if any, respect to their spouse or to their kids. The one who stands by them in sickness and in hardship. Little courtesies are important in a happy home. Courtesies of understanding, and I've spoken a subject very similar to this in our Life Stage group, but there was a day and age where there was real courtesy that was given. My grandparents would tell me story, Coach Shell, of there was a day and age when the courtesy went so far with women, even women that you didn't know, that even in our nation there used to be a time when a woman would enter into the room, you would stand up. There was such a courtesy, there was such a respect for that woman. If she stood up at the table, the other men at the table would stand up. It was a day and age, and I keep wanting to call on people, but then you're going to think I'm calling you old, so I'm not going to call on anybody. I'm not even looking. But there used to be a day and age, some of you know the day and age, where you would talk to somebody, and you would take your hat off to that woman. You would literally, it was so much respect, you wouldn't even wear that hat. I think some of that stuff we ought to still kind of bring back, being courteous to the opposite gender. Opening doors. I tell our kids all the time, I'm working with them, be courteous to people coming in behind you. I almost broke my nose the other day. We're going to a restaurant and we're all walking in. Everybody walks in, they let the door slam behind them. Be courteous. Keep the door open. Let people walk in behind. What are we doing? When you be courteous to others, there is a real happiness and joy that comes into your heart. There is a friendship. Have you ever sat down and talked to somebody? Maybe you don't know very well, and you just, when they walk away, you think, my goodness, that was just so nice. Just to have a conversation with a brother or a sister. What is it? It's courteous. Can I tell you this? Listen, hold on. Before we sit here and we just make fun, okay, great, got your outline, let's get through it. Can I tell you, the Bible just commanded us that we ought to be courteous to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, yeah, the Bible says, love them, be affectionate one to another, honor, preferring one another. But hey, we are talking about, listen now, there is a courtesy that comes. There is an understanding. There is a love. And if we're going to have that not just in the church, we also ought to have it in the home, preferring one another. That means this, to take yourself for a moment and put it to the side. In the day and age we live, I've preached this till I'm blue in the face. The day and age we live, we all live in a I want world. It's me. It's my entertainment. It's my life. It's the way I want to worship. It's my church. We've done it for years. I don't think maybe Pastor Foe, we used to do it back in the day, but it used to be we would pay for things. We put people's name on it. I would tell you, that's a good thing and great. And man, I'm all for it. But I'm telling you that sometimes we'll go to somebody's mind and all of a sudden they own it. You see that name right there? That's my pew. You see that light bulb right there? See that light right there? That's my name. That's our family. That's the shepherds. We own that. That's our piano. We donate it. Can I just tell you, the things of this church, they're not ours. They're the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is true in our homes. May you and I be courteous and husbands and wives, understanding, preferring one another, kindly affectionate one to another, brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Be pitiful. It says this, be courteous. So we see, first of all, we have to be cheerful. Number two, be courteous. Number three, would you write this down? Be cooperative. Be cooperative. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, as workers together with him. That means this, let's go together. We are workers together for the mutual good of us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think it does much harm to the family of God when there is a critical spirit. We have doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us that we stand upon. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen. We have doctrine. We have it. But let's say if Carrie and I don't agree with the Wagners on a certain issue. We're not talking about doctrine. Brother Brett, man, it's us shepherds versus the Wagners. We don't agree on this. We just don't get along. If it's doctrine, we need to talk about it. If it's something where he's wearing glasses and I'm wearing contacts, friend, Let's not try to pull these weird verses out of context and battle each other. And then I'm coming in with a critical spirit and I'm going to criticize my brother in Christ. What I'm saying this afternoon is this: that hurts the body of Christ. There's things we don't agree on and we're never going to agree on. We get to heaven. I just love that God's going to settle it all. It's just going to be settled one day. And until we get there, we don't have to be the Hatfield and McCoys and criticize each other. We ought to be there for each other and love each other. Does this make sense? Say amen. Okay, so that's the church. But what about our home? Cooperative in the home is understanding that we're having one mind. We're coming together in a marriage. We're coming together in a home. And we're not criticizing. If I criticize my wife often, if I criticize my wife at all, eventually it's going to hurt her. It's not good for our marriage. Yeah, we want these happy homes, and there's a husband and wife, and there's always this criticizing. There's this criticism. There's this, we want love, and we want peace, but we also want to fight. Hold on, why don't we for a moment understand that the family of God is here for the gospel going forth, but there's also a family unit, Carrie and I and our five kids, that if we want a happy home, we've got to be cooperative with each other. Does this make sense? Say amen. We've got to be cooperative. Come together and understand we're raising kids. Come together, understand we're in the ministry. This is Carrie and I. But look at your own life. For every kid that's in here today, you have to understand, young kids and teenagers, that you have to be in a world right now where you're being raised. That means this. Twins, Kira, you don't worry about paying bills. You don't worry about how much it costs to replace the roof or how much our electricity's gone up or our water bill. And our water bill is crazy this month because I've been watering the yard. But nonetheless, my kids don't worry about that. Well, so how are we to be cooperative? This is not for us. You be cooperative in understanding that you're submitting to the authority of your parents, and you're cooperative in they have wisdom and they love you. Hey, parents, amen. They want what's best for you. We want these happy homes. We want this Hallmark Christmas movie of a family, and there's no cheerfulness. There's no courtesy. There's no giving deference to the other members of our family. And then we come and there is no cooperation. We almost come to, you do it your way and I'll do it my way. That doesn't work. In the church, that doesn't work. The Bible says, finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Watch this very carefully. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you're thereto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. There has to be cooperation with each other. Number four, would you write this down? Be consistent. Number four, be consistent. Paul said it like this in Philippians 2 and verse number 2. He says, having the same love, being of one accord. Being consistent in a home is this. A marriage relationship has to have consistency. Raising kids, you know this, Brother Harvey, probably one of the hardest things of raising kids really is consistency. Does anybody agree with that? Just nod your head. It really is. Man, we can come down hard. We can get in there. Boy, I'm the best parent ever. The best parents out there are the parents who have never had kids. Have you ever noticed that? Like, they're the best ever. They don't have to worry about consistency, though. Woo! In the home, man, it's tough. There are times, I'm just telling you, a kid needs discipline, but at that moment, you're like, I'm just going to turn a blind eye because I do not want to get in that right now. And you know you need to be consistent. Can I tell you, in your spiritual life, in your home life, if you want a cheerful soul, a cheerful being, a cheerful marriage, a cheerful home, you have to have consistency. I could tell you a person who grumbles, a person who complains, a person who's mad at the world, a person who we never do things right, you never do things right, we don't have a perfect marriage, we don't have a perfect church, we don't have a perfect pastor, we don't have perfect music, and it's always, every time you almost avoid that person because you just know you're going to be around them and they're going to start complaining. You show me a person like that and I'll show you a person who is, hold on, consistently not in their Bible. Show me a grumbler, a complainer, a person who always has to have their way, and I will point to you a person who is consistently not in the Word. You know why? A person who is consistent in the Word of God doesn't take on a mind of Thomas Shepherd, a mind of religion, a mind of fill in the blank, your name. A person who eats, breathes, and loves the Word of God begins to take on the mind of Christ, who gave his life for all of humanity. When we start taking on that mind, we begin to realize I have to have consistency. And I want to put it this way, for our families and even for all of London and all of our young girls who are sitting up here, can I put it this way? We have to be consistent in something. And the thing that we're always consistent in, we want to rail on each other, it doesn't matter. Did you hear about the politics? Did you hear about the sports? Who cares? Who cares? Hold on, let me say it again. Who cares? Are we consistent in the Word of God? Every choir member who sang up here today, if you want to have a right heart and sing with a right heart, be consistent in the Word of God. Sunday school teachers, from the youngest all the way up to Mrs. Luderman who taught today and Pastor Chris who taught today, can I tell you this? God forbid we come in this place and we think we're going to lead this choir or lead this orchestra or preach in this pulpit or play this piano, and we have not been consistent in our daily Bible reading and communication with God. God forbid. No wonder these churches are dry and complainers and worship wars that go on and back and forth. Show me a church like that. I'll show you a church that's not in the Word of God. A church that's in the Word of God becomes gospel-centered. That means this, consistent at making the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? This Word of God is the main thing. From that, we have witnessing. From that, if we could be consistent in the Word of God, do you know that we could totally eliminate racism? If we were in the Word of God, we could totally get rid of the wars and the meanness and the unkindness that goes on. If we could just get in the Word of God, consistency. Do we want a merry home? Do we want a happy home? Write this down. Lastly, number five, be Christian. Number five, be Christian. Paul said in Colossians 2:6, I'm paraphrasing here, says, as ye have received Christ, listen to what it says, so walk ye in him. If you want a happy home, you must give God first place. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. A Christian home is not being afraid to tell your children or your husband or your wife, I love you. Well, let me say it again. A happy home and a cheerful home is a home where you're not afraid to look at someone and say, I love you. Do you know that love goes, it really does rule and lead the way in a home that's going to be happy, because love is able to overlook the faults that we all have. And can I tell you, you have a lot of faults, and so do I. But aren't you thankful that we have a God that loves us? A happy home is a place where my wife understands Thomas Shepherd makes mistakes. But I'm telling you what, I've never doubted for one day this woman loves me. Not just through actions, but Carrie Shepherd will look at me and say, I love you. I'm not afraid to look at one of my daughters, Nora or Rose, my twins, and tell them, I love you. We got done just a moment ago. Brother Rick Cox and I, we were back here talking, and Brother Rick, we got done that conversation, and Carrie and I were coming up here, talked to Jack and this group, and Rick looked at me and said, I love you, Pastor. And I know Rick loves me. We've had a lot of conversations. We have a lot of good meals together, but he looked at me and said, I love you. Let me tell you, that does something for me. You know, if we're going to have a cheerful Cross Point Baptist Church that stands on the Word of God and thunders the Word of God, we have to have a place of love. And can I tell you, in your homes, do you know what you need? Yeah, if we only had a Wii, if we only had an Xbox, if we only had, you know, an 80-inch flat-screen TV like so-and-so. No, no, hold on, hold on. If you really want happiness, yeah, if we could just go on that vacation. Time out. Yeah, if we only, stop. You want a happy home? Have a Christian home. And a Christian home is a home that is able to overlook your kids are going to make mistakes, and so do mine. We're sinners. You're sinners. But we have a God that his blood covers a multitude of sins. And we can have a place that loves each other. Everybody, look at this verse and we'll be done. Look at it with me one more time. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.